Hello?
Lucas Stevens. We did it.
We did it. We're here.
We made it.
We're recording.
We're recording. There was some doubt that we were going to record, and we recorded. There were scheduling conflicts. There was joking with Sammy Ahmed. It was real. It was a real road, but we got here.
We made it through all of that together.
I can only imagine how far we're going to go. beautiful. Who are you? What? How did you get here? What? All right. I asked you to be on this podcast. You're here now. How did we meet? Tell me your story, Lucas Stevens.
Will do. Yeah. So a little bit about me. I'm from Ogden, Utah. I am 22 years old and single. For
emphasis.
All your listeners.
Asterisk. A lot. Put his number in the credits.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I went to Bonneville High School, was really involved in athletics and student government all throughout high school, went on my mission to Atlanta, Georgia, have been here at Utah State for, this is my third year, my junior year, majoring in economics and political science, and I want to go to law school and be a lawyer, but yeah. And love the podcast game. I had a talk show on Aggie Radio last year with my buddy, and we were awful. It was like the worst. Like it was just like the dumbest like talk show. It was called USU Let's Talk About It, and we'd basically just like shoot the breeze, and then. We'd always just, like, our catchphrase, we'd always just be like, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it, right?
And, but it was all just to get girls. It's because radio's sexy, man.
Dude, honestly, you got a great face for radio.
Yeah.
So, dude, okay, but speaking of face, so you're clean shaven right now.
Yeah.
When I met you, bro, you had a stash for the decades. You had a great mustache. And then today I see you're clean shaven. I was like, all right, maybe I'll just cut it. And then you said, no, I have thoughts on this stash. What's going on? What are you, hit me.
Yeah. Well, first off, how we met at Aggie Blue Leadership Conference. So I was speaking there and you were on the committee.
Yeah.
And you were introducing me. And I loved how you'd introduce me. You'd change up the introduction every time. There was a script, but it was always something different.
You gotta keep it interesting. Everyone's got to get a different taste. You know,
That's right. But yes, so I did shave my mustache this weekend because look, I am more than just a stash. It's like when you have a mustache, that's all anybody wants to talk to you about. And yes, like you have masks on, but as soon as the mask comes off, it's almost just like even more like they're like, oh, you have a mustache.
Reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big reveal. That's so true. That's right. And, but here are my thoughts on a mustache. I've thought of like making a pamphlet, like writing out these rules because there are certain rules, or maybe just like a blog post or something, like commonly made mistakes.
I was about to say the pamphlet was very like law student of you. I was thinking like, what are we like John Locke out here, like making pamphlets? Is real.
Yeah, that's very dated. It's very missionary of me. Actually.
True, very missionary.
Here's a pamphlet.
Very law school.
Yeah. So I so first mistake when you grow a mustache, you grow out your whole beard. Like simultaneously, you grow out all your facial hair, and then once it gets to a sufficient length, then you shave the sides and leave the mustache. Because if you're just growing out your mustache and regularly shaving everything else, it's really weird and makes people uncomfortable, and it's this wispy, this patchy, spotty like little as it grows in. You need to let it fill out a little bit more before you. Shave the sides and everything else and leave the mustache. So that's commonly made mistake number one.
No, that's actually I'm really glad you're giving these tips because like you can tell there's not a ton going on here, but like I've noticed that like when somebody has like the half stash, I'm like, bro, that's gross. Like what's wrong with that? So you got to do it whole and then just dive straight in the mustache. It was a clean, literally a clean sweep. Like you jump right in the mustache. A lot of credit, but you have more.
Yes, a few more. So I don't have like super thick facial hair either. So you've got to give it time and then, well, this is just a facial hair principle in general, right? you let it grow out a little bit longer, and then you trim it. Keep it trimmed up. We don't need some stray dogs. You know, we don't need a random long hair in your mustache. We don't need it hanging over your lip, right? As well, so obviously, keep it trimmed up. Keep it dark too. Like, if you have a light mustache, don't be afraid to use some, Just for Men.
We're getting some product
in
here?
Yeah.
Oh man! Wow.
Some Just for Men at Walmart.
You're gonna have to rope me in. I'm not sure. You're losing me a little bit. I'm starting to wander off the res a little bit.
Yeah. Facial hair dye. Look it up, man. It'll save. This is for our blonde brothers out there, with really wispy stashes where it's like you just have to catch it in the right light. Right. Don't be afraid to use some facial hair dye on it.
Can you get can you go from blonde to dark blonde? Is that like one of the face? How much
dark
do you know?
Blonde.
I don't know. Because you don't want to have a brown mustache and blonde hair. Like now it's just like the male Fergie. Like I don't know what we're doing there. Like the eyebrow, the blonde hair. Like this is a wild experiment. But do you know? Like is there a dark?
That
blonde?
Is a good analogy though. With when girls have. That's a good comparison.
It throws me off sometimes. Like I don't know. Like it teach their own. Everyone do it. Do what makes you feel beautiful. But when I'm it's like a blonde girl and they have super dark eyebrows. It throws me off. I'm like, whoa. Okay, just recalibrate. Like it's not offensive or ugly or whatever, but just it's a moment for sure. Like I'm like, okay, gotta psych back in. You know what I mean?
It totally is.
So we got product. So dye your mustache, grow it all together, then cut to a mustache.
Yeah.
Keep going. What do we got? How many more of these?
Well,
you
keep it clean too. Yeah. Keep it trimmed. Just two more.
Okay.
I would suggest keeping everything else nice too, And by that I mean, by everything else, I mean your haircut, your outfit. Just keep everything else generally well-groomed and well-kept. Because when you're going on, 2-3 months without a haircut and it's getting shaggy,
yeah,
and you have a mustache, it really compounds any other feature that's unkept, I guess,
right,
if that makes sense. But if you have a nice, a well kept set of hair, and you're well dressed and you have a mustache, you look good still,
right?
But if you're wearing sweats and are 4 months into
high stakes, man,
without a haircut, then that's when you start getting called things like pedophile.
So it gets grim,
right? Those mean words.
So what you're telling me is that the mustache is a lifestyle. It's not just, you can't just have a mustache. Mm. If you're gonna have a mustache, you gotta live the classy life.
It is a lifestyle. That's very well put, Josh. That is very well put. And last rule I would say is you've gotta have a little bit of scruff too. I think if you're clean shaven on the sides and around your chin and then have a mustache, it gets a little weird because that's when you get into dad territory.
Right.
I think keeping a little bit of scruff looks better.
Just enough.
As a general
rule. Not a ton. But
you 3 to 10 day scruff.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
10 day beard, for me, for people who can't grow a beard, it's whatever, get it up to 10 days before you start revealing. So how is the mask? So the mask is, we talked about the big reveal. I mean, it's emphasized the game. But has it influenced the way, do you shave more? Do you shave less with the mask? I definitely shave less. I'm going to be honest. It's just less of a priority. But what's your move? I mean,
you shave less. Okay. Well, we'll see. I ended up shaving because it's weird having a mustache under a mask because you get this condensation effect.
Ooh.
That's
already
mustache
going on. I have that. I don't have any mustache, but I can only imagine you got the stash. It's
it's hot and humid in your mask.
It's like the Sherpa. Sherpa outbound.
No, it totally is. And you get, some condensation, why does my mustache feel wet? When it's hot and wet and humid in my mask. It's just not.
Well,
so that is one of the main reasons that I shaved, actually.
It's several words that make me feel gross. It was all in a row. So you're you're executive student VP, right? And did
yes.
I say that? Is that the right frame?
Yes.
Think I put student executive.
So I'm the USUSA executive vice president. USUSA is the Utah State University Student Association.
Right.
So every student at USU is a part of USUSA. Mm-hmm. My Well, within USUSA, there's a few different vice presidents. So, for example, there's a vice president over events and a vice president over athletics and one over student advocacy, more of a government relations type position.
Okay.
So my position as executive vice president is more of a traditional number two vice president.
Okay.
So I work a lot with, like, student fees. I chair the student fee board, and I work in kind of the more bureaucratic side of our student government functions, I guess, in that I, you know, chair the Facilities Enhancement Committee and sit on the Faculty Senate. And I do,
right.
I do a lot of
ambassadorship between students and faculty, students in the university.
That's a great way of saying it. And it kind of, this might be a little bit of a tangent.
There's no tangent. This is a tangent. Welcome to the tangent.
This whole thing is, it's actually the name of the show.
It should be.
The Tangent with Josh Davis.
I'm going to talk to somebody about that. But yeah, I mean, it's in the cards, but yeah.
So this last, was it Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. I went down to Salt Lake for my brother's birthday party, and
my brother, he's
28, and he was really involved here. He graduated right before I came up. Actually, you might have known him. Did you know Mitch Stevens when you were here before
Mitch
your
Stevens.
Mission?
Yeah, I don't feel like there's a lot of people named Mitch that, like, I feel like everyone knows a Mitch, but they don't really know. No, yeah. I don't.
Well,
I
you can go.
Everybody.
You can cut that part out.
Okay. But, sure.
It was worth a shot, man.
Good luck.
Yeah. A swing and a miss. So at his birthday party, there was a kid who was the executive vice president 3 years ago named Blake Harms. And we talked about how, you know, if we felt like this position was more about, you know, bringing the administration's views and issues and, you know, representing their decisions to students, or if it was more about advocating for students to administration, like which direction we kind of faced. And the answer is honestly both.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of, here's the thing, there are a lot of students that think that, you know, there's a man behind the curtain that, you know.
Are you the man? Are you the man behind?
I am not the man.
But you interact with the man. That's what you're telling me.
Exactly. And, you know, I genuinely believe that this university is ran by good people that have, you know, students' best intention, or have the best intentions with the decisions they make.
You can just feel it. Like, I don't know, on campus and the way that just admissions office, if you need something at Utah State, like, it's easy to get what you need done instead of, like, running into a wall. Like, I've almost never had, I can't think of an experience where I needed something. Like, oh, I need to change this class. I need to do this. I need to do that. And it was like, Utah State was like, I'm just here to stand in your way. It's like, no, like, they're here to, like, help. Like, it's very, what's the word when it's like you can feel it in the air? Tangible, I guess. It's just like when you're on campus, you can feel it for sure. But keep going.
Oh, totally. And see, that's not the case at other universities too. That is special and unique to hear. Like, so I sit on a campus safety board for the Utah System of Higher Education with other student officers from other schools in the state. And in our first meeting, basically, like, there was a very negative tone about, you know, their relationship with their administrators, you know, the student government's relationship with their administrators. Mm-hmm. And literally me and the one other Utah State rep were just made the only positive comments in that, look, our administration is accessible. They're on our side on issues. They really are just so awesome. So I feel like there's definitely going back to your original point of, you know, being kind of a delegate between administrators and students. You know, it really does go both ways. But, I mean, as far as, like, I also do a lot with, like, academics. So I chair – so I sit on the faculty senate. I think I already said that. And I chair the academic senate, which is basically, like, every college – has an elected student senator that then sits on this.
Right. And then you all can work together under exactly. your guidance. So it's not like one college is doing this, one college keeps it organized, right?
Yeah. Nice. But, you know, also there's a lot of fun stuff, I guess, that I can do with this position. You might not think this is super fun. I really enjoy marketing and, I guess, event planning. Mm-hmm. So I am going to do a town hall about student fees in November, where we'll have, you know, the fee administrators and other university administrators there to explain, you know, what their specific student fee is used for and how it was used differently over these last two semesters due to COVID changes. And then have an opportunity for students to ask questions and make comments. So, like, I'm way excited about that as well.
And the fee board, that's student fees, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they deal with – so there's tuition, which is its own deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have student fees that help whatever. We build the ARC. We pay for it with student fees, access to the ARC. Sort of – it's sort of the things that make the campus experience even more awesome, right? Is that
exactly.
a way to explain that?
Exactly.
Okay, so you chaired that board. I actually applied for that last year. Fun facts. Didn't make the cut. I don't know. Like, I'm not here to. Like, you weren't the executive exec VP, right? Is that what your title is? Executive.
Yes.
You weren't the exec VP last year, so that had nothing to do with you. But
and Josh, I didn't make it last year either.
You applied too.
I applied and didn't make it.
That's the new name of this podcast. It's the people who didn't make the fee board last year.
The rejects.
The rejects. Oh yeah, the tangents and the rejects. That'd be a good band name though. All right. Anyway, all right. But
I guess one more thing that I'm working on is a film festival. I want to do a film festival for the school. And that's what I thought you would be really interested
in. Count me in. What are we doing?
Well, there's going to be a really big prize. We're figuring that out now. But basically, we've got access to, you know, a good-sized budget for this. And it's really going to be a I think we're really going to be able to do it right. And I think we're taking the right steps now to make it happen come February.
And that'll be a contestant-based, like submission-based? Or will it be sort of – okay. Because there was a film festival that just showed awesome films like a couple years ago. Do you remember Logan City Limits? I think you were gone. Were you there?
Well, I didn't go to a film festival for Logan City Limits. But, of course, I know Logan City
Limits. There was the my freshman year, they did – as part of it, they doubled down, and there was concerts, and then there was also like a film festival that showed like the Oscar contestants down at Utah Theater. It was
cool.
It was pretty cool, but cool. So it'll be like a submission-based film festival.
Yeah, for students and faculty, and that's why I think you'll be really interested, because you'll be able to, you know, make a good video for the student body to enjoy.
Right.
But as well, you know, possibly. You know, get some recognition and win some dope stuff.
No, yeah, we're here for it. That's super cool. I'm super interested in film. I actually think that I just hear so much about film students around Utah State. It's really interesting. I don't know if it's because, like...
a university that doesn't have a film school.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I run into it a fair amount. And I'm a film studies minor. That's why it's part of the reason why Lucas is suggesting this to me. But... yeah, that would be super cool. I'd be super interested in that for sure. I got one more question for you on this thing.
Yeah.
Does it feel awesome to have executive in front of your title? Like, I just like I don't know. Like, I just heard like if you put executive podcast producer, I'd be like, dang, like that feels dope. Does it feel different? Like, I don't know. Like, it's this goofy question.
Dude, honestly, it's just my title's just a mouthful, and I. Like, if I'm just talking to somebody that's not from Utah State, I always just say student body vice president.
Yeah, save you some time.
Yeah, because it's just, it's a mouthful, and it's just another word in there. You know, a three-syllable word, right? Executive. No, it's four.
Is that four?
Executive.
Too many syllables. Too many syllables.
Yeah.
Too little time. That's actually something really interesting. Most Utah universities, like, they don't have the election system we do. Like... a lot of they'll elect a president and the rest is appointed. Like, I think that's how BYU works, at least.
Oh,
and
sure.
So, like, the fact that we have all these elected VPs is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right. I sent you a question leading into this podcast was a little presumptive, but I'm gonna reframe it a little bit. So,
okay.
So movies have been postponed like crazy, like just all across the board, like for years, months, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hit you with, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 5. I have 5 movies here. I want you to rank 1 to 5. 1 being you care the most that it got postponed, and 5 being that I forgot that movie was coming out. How much do you care about these movies being postponed? Are you ready?
Yes.
You think you got this? Okay, here we go. So, James Bond got postponed. There's a Wes Anderson movie. It's called like The French Dispatch. Got postponed. We got Wonder Woman, 84. Black Widow. And Quiet Place 2. Now, there's some bonuses I can throw in if you want. Do you want the bonuses? You want to stick with the 5?
Let me stick with these 5, and then let's talk about the bonuses.
Okay,
after.
We'll do it.
Is that all right?
So we got James Bond, Wes Anderson, Wonder Woman, Black Widow, Quiet Place. So, hey, what's your number 1?
Definitely No Time to Die, James Bond.
Interesting. Okay, so me too, actually. Because, like, I watched that trailer, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Doesn't it look so cool?
It looks so cool. And then it's got, what's his name? Rami Malek?
Yeah.
The bad guy?
Yep.
Like, I'm all in. Like, what caught your attention about it? Why is it, why you put it number 1? There's some big names on here. Why do you have a number 1?
Yeah, I love these James Bonds. Like, I love Daniel Craig James Bond.
He's great.
He's great. And, I mean, Spectre was awesome. Skyfall was so good. Like, I just really love these movies. So I'm just excited for more.
So, like, I was talking to my dad about this. So another option, a part of this podcast was going to be to talk about Tenet because it makes zero sense. But I was talking to my dad about how,
sorry I wasn't able to watch.
Oh, don't even worry about it. It's whatever. Things happen. But I was talking to my dad about how even with these James Bond movies, I feel like I'm only understanding, like, 85% of the plot.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's 15% that, like, if I really dug in, I'd probably get, which this is, I'm a film studies minor. You'd think I'd be on top of this. But, like I feel like I'm watching it, and, like, there's so many muttered British lines where I'm like, is this, like, a subplot? And then,
yeah,
like,
for real.
And then later, like, the guy who muttered something gets shot, and I'm like, I hope it wasn't, because, like, he's dead now. So, like, there's whatever that subplot was, like, it's gone. Like, like, I don't know. Like, I love those movies, but at the same time, like, I think it was Casino Royale. I watched Casino Royale. I'm like, I get the big plot. Like, I'm like, all right, he takes out the bad guy. Like, woohoo, game. But, like, there's so much that goes unsaid. All right, but who do you got as 2 then? You got Daniel Craig taking number 1.
Yeah, probably Black Widow.
Black Widow!
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So, all right, just a little preference. When I sent Lucas the rundown, I said Black Widow got postponed. Do we care? That was a little verbatim what I wrote Lucas, and he's putting it number 2. You care about Black Widow?
I do. I love Marvel, dude. I'm like at this point, Marvel just makes a new movie, and it's like, take my money, just
honestly,
take it, because I'm gonna go and I'm gonna love it, and it'll be like the same, like because they have that formula down, right? They'll have a running joke,
man,
throughout the movie. They'll bring in like
Quippy.
These. Oh, it's quit. Oh, and I love it. I just eat it up every time.
No, you're like, oh man, I thought it was a superhero, but then he made that quip, and now
yeah.
I'm all in. You're like, oh, he's just like me. He's like me as a person.
Yep.
But like, okay, all right, we need to talk about this then. Elephant in the room. Black Widow's the worst Avenger. Like, is it close? Like, I don't think it's close. Like,
whoa.
I really like, okay, all right, here we go. You have a hot take coming later, but my hot take, I'll just spit it out now.
Yeah.
Like, they killed Black Widow in Endgame. Spoiler alert, I guess. I don't know if you haven't seen Endgame. But they killed Black Widow so that we care. Like, I don't know. There's not a single point that I care about Black Widow and the Avengers. And then she sacrifices herself. And I'm like, okay, like, cool. Like, we have, like, this arc for Black Widow. Now I'm like,
yeah.
Honorable sacrifice. But you really – who's the worst?
Oh, gosh. Now I can't, like, think of
yeah,
right,
that's what
probably
I thought.
Vision.
Oh, that's actually tough.
I mean, he's really not very cool.
He doesn't accomplish a lot, I'll tell you what. He really, like, is it just his voice? Maybe it's just his voice. Like, it's like sultry, so you're just kind of like,
we're,
oh.
We're kind of hitting on British accents,
dude,
right now.
Get the Brits out of here, bro. Honestly, we kicked them out once.
I thought we
1776,
beat them.
We kicked them out once.
Yeah.
No, that's not even right. Is that one? No, that's the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, well, I'm with you.
Whatever.
Either
way,
put your pen down.
I've watched 5 seasons of the Great British Baking Show, and it was like, all right, like I can tolerate you, and I tolerated them. And then there was this one time where they were like talking about a dish, and there was like, it was a celebratory dish, right? This guy goes up and he's like, oh yeah, it's a celebratory dish. And I'm like, celebratory? What? I'm like, and then they get all in your face. They're like, oh yeah, like I invented English, so get out of my face. I'm like, you don't have, anyway, don't even get me started on the British. But
our resident film studies minor watches British cooking television shows. Like,
you gotta do what you gotta do, man. It's tough times these days. Vision isn't great. I'm not gonna act like he is, but it's definitely. I'm giving it to Black Widow.
Hawkeye just went on a weird arc.
Hawkeye, okay, yeah, there's like really weird, bizarre. Like, there's no justice in that. Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna kill a bunch of people, and then it's like, I'm just supposed to let you go back to your family after like being a monster. Like it was really.
That was weird. I felt like it would have been like more natural for him to die in that scenario, or I guess that would have been more intuitive for me as a writer, for him to die and kind of complete his arc, like come full circle in that. Okay, well he's gone on this like rampage or whatever, and then he sacrifices himself, like kind of redeeming himself.
Oh, for sure. It would have made a lot more sense.
And he has a family too, so it's like more impactful, I guess.
It's sadder.
But then what? That would be like the two people with family, the two Avengers with families, like Tony and...
Both just lose out. That's the message of Avengers. Lose your families. All right. Let's get back. So, all right. So, we got James Bond 1. Somehow Black Widow 2. I'm upset about that. Do you remember the... Do you want me to review the other three options, or got it?
Let's see. So... there's the Wes Anderson.
Yep.
Yes, review, please.
So, all right, we got French Dispatch. It's a Wes Anderson movie about journalism, actually. Shouts to journalism. Journalism major over here. Then we got Wonder Woman 84 and Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, so I'll just preface this. I'll probably just crank these three out right now.
Let's do it.
So, I... I'm actually not very interested in any of these movies. So I like Wes Anderson in like in theory. Like I see like still shots of his movies and I'm like, that is so cool. Like I love the symmetric just viewpoints that he gives. I think he's a really like he just always has like a cool aesthetic. I think it's fun to watch like clips of his movies, but it just doesn't come together for me when I watch the movie.
It doesn't
like
land.
It took me like 3 sittings to watch Fantastic Mr. Fox because it was just so
really
bizarre. Yeah,
it's very bizarre. I'm not gonna act like it's not.
But honestly, that probably takes third for me, French Dispatch, because it's so star-studded. Like Timothy Chalamet, I honestly think Timothy Chalamet is dope. Like I think he's so cool.
Oof.
So I'm. And speaking of mustaches, he has a grody little mustache.
Yeah, he's gross.
Is it black and white, too? Or is part of it black and white?
You know, that feels like something I should know, doesn't it?
That's okay.
I don't know off the top of my head. I think so, but I don't know. So maybe it's like a twofer, like half of it is, half of it isn't.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something about that. But
So then after that, it probably goes, I mean, it's a wash.
It's a wash? Quiet Place.
Okay,
you know,
so
watch.
I've never seen Quiet Place 1.
Okay,
so that's
right.
Why.
Well, we're gonna have to end the podcast early.
I've never
we'll
seen Wonder Woman 1 either.
I haven't. Okay, so
like,
are we
I don't
sexist
really care about
for not seeing Wonder Woman? Okay, like this is a thing. Like, I didn't want to see Wonder Woman because I didn't want to have an opinion about it. Like, I didn't want to have like walk out and have somebody be like, "Well, did you like it?" And be like, "It was all right," and then be like, "You're sexist." Like, I don't know. I was really worried about that. Like, really?
Well,
like,
well, you're the guy that doesn't want to see Black Widow either. Maybe you are.
Oh, that's just a Russian thing. I don't do communists. I can't root. I'm supposed to root for the commies? What am I supposed to do? Okay, I'm Black Widow real quick. I was going to throw this in. The sister is in Little Women, I think her name.
Yeah.
She plays Amy in Little Women.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of her.
Yeah.
I watched like half of the horror movie she was in.
Midsommar, yeah.
Yeah, Midsommar. It's definitely Midsommar. I don't know where you got Midsommar.
I thought there was an O in there. My bad.
It is an O, though. But Midsommar's too whack. That movie was weird. I was like, this is satanic. I'm out. But
yeah.
But she was great in both. She's really good. And she was in Little Women. She's in that. So I am kind of rooting for it because like it's her big break.
Yeah.
But I think it's in like 2021 now. You haven't seen Quiet Place?
No, I haven't.
It's offensive. I think it's I've seen it once, twice. But it is very good. I'm a big fan. Woman, look, like I want to clarify, like I'm not sexist, but but there's no but, and like
I never thought you were sexist.
No, audience members, I don't know, like who am I gonna get sued already? Podcast one, all right, but I heard it was very good. I've like tried to watch it, and by tried to watch it, I mean it's been on my mind, and I haven't done it yet. So I am a hypocrite on that front. So the trick answer is that it's obviously Godzilla versus King Kong. That's like obviously the one we're all the saddest about. That was supposed to come out this summer. And oh my goodness, it would have been glorious. Okay, so did you see the 2014 Godzilla? It had like a red poster. And
no.
You didn't see it. Okay, all right.
You're
what
making
about,
me feel very uncultured.
Well, I mean, like, this is pretty deep. This is a pretty deep dive. If you're into King Kong, hit me up. But and then there's King Kong Skull Island. Did you see that one?
I did.
That one's okay. Is that not amazing?
With Tom Hiddleston, Samuel
yes.
L. Jackson.
It is so entertaining.
Yeah, no, it was cool.
It was like, at one point, Sam Jackson is squaring up with King Kong. And I'm like, bro, who do you? It was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen.
And just a fleet of helicopters flies through a hurricane.
Vietnam helicopters. There's a scene where Tom Hiddleston grabs like a jungle blade and then grabs a gas mask simultaneously, like one with one hand, one with the other, puts the gas mask on with one hand, which by the way is no feat. Like, I don't know. I don't think I could do that.
No
like,
small
I don't think.
Feat, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's a no small feat. Good, important correction. But anyway, he takes this gas mask, one hand put on, has a sword, and then is running through green poisonous gas and like slices this bird in half. And it was like, this is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my whole life. So King Kong versus Godzilla is obviously the winner. Shouts to Top Gun sequel, by the way, for sneaking in there. That's close second. I want to talk to you about sports.
Yeah.
Particularly the National Basketball Association. Yeah. I'm a big fan. You claim to be a big fan, but
yeah,
you also claim to be a big movie fan, and I'm throwing all these movies at you. And
gosh, I know. Well, I like good movies.
Oh! Wow. Okay. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Let's just say that the NBA is a good show right now, so I'm following very closely.
It is. It is a good show. We are recording this on a Friday. It's going to go up Monday, so I don't know how – probably go up Tuesday, actually. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Cut that. As of right now, the Heat are up 3-1 on the Celtics, and the Lakers are in a horrible spot. They're up 3-1 on the Nuggets. We know how that goes. That doesn't work out well for anybody. But what have you – like, what have you thought about the bubble? What do you think about these Eastern and Western Conference finals? What's caught your eye the most?
Yeah, well, I like the bubble, honestly, dude. I thought the virtual fans would be weirder than it turned out to
be. It's
been
kind of awesome, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, it's really natural to see people in the background. So, like, there's sometimes where I don't even notice that it's not stands. Where I'll be like, oh, yeah, there's the people. And then I have to be like, bro, that's a giant screen with them via Zoom. It's not the same. But, like,
yeah,
it's pretty natural.
Yeah, it is a lot more natural than I thought. And it's also kind of fun because you still get, like, celebrities up there. Like, Drake will still go into the Raptors games. And you see Lil Wayne. And it's fun. I think it's interesting how, you know, NBA players, you hear them talking a lot about how, like, they miss their families. Mm-hmm. And I totally think that's absolutely valid, right?
Right.
And, I mean, we've been on missions, right? We've been away
yeah.
from our families for 2 years.
Yeah,
and
it's a grind.
It's a grind. And our experience is a little different in that, you know, we were going out at like 18, 19, and some of these guys are like fathers and like
right.
husbands, right?
No, kids, that's so different. Like, I can't even imagine.
It is different. But still, some of these guys are still in this age. I mean, some of these guys are like our age.
Right.
Like, Donnie, I think Donnie's just a year older than us, right?
Is he? The scariest part is when people are younger. Like, Doncic is 21. I'm like, I am 22, and what have I accomplished? Like, it's pretty...
Yeah, for real.
No, but yeah, it's like, it's definitely interesting. It's really cool how it's like an incentive to advance in the playoffs. Because as you advance, because the other teams are leaving, they can then allow like families to start coming in, which is like kind of Hunger Games-y as an incentive, right? Like, win so you can see your family. It's like, okay, like
that is true.
It's super intense, but I think the quality of play has been better. Have you noticed that? Like, I just feel like the games are better. I feel like they're better rested.
Yeah, they just eat, sleep, and breathe basketball. No, you know, no chicken wing distractions.
Oh, man. Shouts to Lou Williams. Dude, no one goes to a strip club just for chicken wings. I'm not saying they don't go for chicken wings as well, but not just for chicken wings.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper Lou. Freak, dude. No, but I really dig. What I love is that I think it evened out the playing field a lot more with travel and with quality of play, especially like, do you think that so baseball does series where they play three games against the team, and they'll stay in that city for those three games, and then later in the year they'll do whatever, three games in the other city to even it out. Like, do you think the NBA should also adopt that format based on what we're seeing from the bubble?
Dude, I think that would be a really cool change and like a really cool trial run. I wonder if players would want that, like the Players Association, because maybe that would be like less travel. I wonder what players would think, because then they would be away from their families for like, you know, like 4, 5, 6 days at a time, but you know, it would be like every other week they're away or so, as opposed to, you know, like leaving every other day.
No, 100%.
I wonder what players would want. I think that would be really cool, because then you would have, you know, like a little series with the team, and you'd play them right after each other, and you'd really get to know them, and you know, these players would really get to know each other. And you know, I think as a fan, I would like that, because imagining, you know, Russ and Dame going at it.
Oh, for three games straight.
Three games in a row.
This is the thing, because like it started to come out this playoffs, but like, there's been a huge lack of rivalries and like divisions and like all the stuff that made like basketball so awesome, like leading out of the 90s and those sort of peak, you know, I think we throw back too often, like, oh man, the 90s basketball is better. Like, I don't think that's true all the time, but like those rivalries were intense. And like, if we had like these three games where it's like by the end, like fan bases hate each other. They're just like, I hate this team. Like, I hate the way they play. Whereas like right now it's like, well, like, I want his best player in 2 years, so I'm not going to be mean to him. But, like, if they were playing, like, those series, wouldn't that do more for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be cool. That's a really cool thought. I'm wondering, did you just come up with this, or is this
– I feel like I've heard it somewhere.
A dialogue, like
– It's not like an NBA rumor. It's probably, like – I think it's a media float or whatever. I can't remember if I saw it on Twitter or something. But, like, I think it's a really cool idea. Who do you got? So we got
pitch it to Adam Silver.
Pitch
man.
It to Adam Silver. Do you have his number? You're an executive. You should be able to give me that number, right? Shoot. But who you got? So we got Miami and Lakers seem to be in position to make it to the finals. Do you think that's how it's going to turn out? You think it'll be Miami Lakers?
I do. I think Denver has ran out of luck, and I think that. Well, I shouldn't even say luck, because really they do. Like, Jamal Murray is incredible. He wasn't even an all-star this
year. I don't
want
to talk about Jamal Murray. I'm a hater. Count me in on the haters. Okay. Okay. There's not that many. Like, he's really good. He's played super well.
He just beat it. Are you a Jazz fan? What kind of
fan? Yeah, I'm a Jazz fan. It's been a rough go of it.
Well, let's just keep Donnie. Let's get rid of Rudy. And
are we there? Because that's where I was. And then I got to watch game 7. I'm like, if we didn't have Rudy, we could get blown out in game 7. So then I'm like, well, do we keep him? Do we not? I think the Jazz are going to keep him. I don't know what. Like, I'm asking it, but they're going to keep him. No, this draft is bad. There's not enough players available that I think it matters. But, boy, it hurts my soul. Like, I don't know. Like, I hope that this team can do basically, I wanted an 0-4 Pistons year out of the Jazz this year. I was like, all right, like, Donovan is sort of like this Billups, like, takeover scorer. They can close us out. Like, Conley's a steadying hand. They can get us, like, 15 to 20
rip,
a game.
The Rip Hamilton.
The Rip Hamilton, sure. And Rip to Mike Conley's career after the season. But, but
<That's>
like,
just so true.
Then Rudy, Ben Wallace. I don't know who's Rasheed, bro. I need a Rasheed. Can we trade for Blake Griffin? But,
yeah,
but then, like, it just all fell apart. And then, like, Donovan went full, like, Wade on us. He just went full D-Wade and was, like, literally just carrying. 57, I think he had.
Yeah.
It's, like, the third highest ever in a playoff game. Like, are you kidding me? And, like, we can't even beat the Nuggets. And I'm like, so now I'm supposed to care about Jamal Murray. Meanwhile, I have the, like, the next win weight on my hands. And I'm like, it's just breaking my heart because, like, it should be Donnie. It shouldn't be Jamal.
Should be Donnie. I agree. I think that the Lakers are just playing too well right now and playing with too much star power and too much scoring capability.
Yeah.
I think that the Nuggets just had weird chemistry issues and weird, like, the Clippers.
Right.
Excuse me. Yeah. They had weird chemistry issues and, like, rumors about, like, fatigue issues. And, I mean, I think
they rested the whole season. That's
fine. and they, I mean, they voted to, like, discontinue the season, right?
Well, so did the Lakers, though. But
that's true.
To your point, to toot my own horn, but let's toot it a little bit. Toot. I never liked the Clippers. There was always, like, a vibe with them. It's not the roster. Like, the roster makes sense. You look at them, you're like, wow, this team should be ridiculous. But, like, I never got like this, like, oh, yeah, like, this team is dominating kind of vibe from them. Mm-hmm. I just kept like, oh, yeah, like, it came together tonight. But it was never like they decided it. It was like the stars aligned. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the type of the Nuggets, let's go positive because I just, like, ruined Jamal Murray's life. But and Jamal Murray's great. But Jokic, dude, this guy is amazing. Like, it's something else. Like, he's like, he's like 7 foot Doncic, basically. The way he's played this offseason, it's ridiculous. Like, the passes he throws, I'm like, okay. There's no way to defend him. It's like, okay, he's posting up. What do you do? You double. Well, he just passed the open guy. And it's like, okay, you don't double. Well, he just got a layup. It's like, well, you lay off him or put a wing on him. And it's like, nope, he got to the rim again. And then it's like, he's making threes.
Yeah, or you body him up, and then he'll make some weird fade from, like, 15 feet and some crazy hook. And, you know, he really has a good shooter's touch. And, yeah, he's fun to watch play, and he really opens up the floor with his passing. I really like Jokic a lot.
If Jokic was on the Jazz, are we in the finals right now? Never mind. That's too sad a question. I don't want the answer.
Let's give him Conley and Rudy for Jokic.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd listen to that call. They definitely wouldn't hang up on you. But real quick. I love Jimmy Butler. This Heat team, I love it. There's some people who hate, like, this, like, tough leadership style, or they're like, oh, he's just a punk.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's so fun to watch, like, this vengeance tour. Like, he goes to Minnesota, literally beats the starters with scrubs to show how lazy they are, then demands a trade. And you're like, wow, this guy's a punk. Then he goes to Philadelphia. They have the weird chemistry issues. Jimmy Butler doesn't hit with the coach. Then he demands out, like, okay. But now he's with his Heat team where they're like, yeah, all right.
He's a free agent, right?
He's a free agent, signs with the Heat, and the Heat are just like, yeah, be our best player. And he's like, dope. And now they're, like, in the finals. And granted, you know, Bam Adebayo's been super good. I think Tyler Herro put up 37. This guy's a rookie, just dropping 37.
Yeah.
But I love the Jimmy Butler narrative. I love the Heat.
I love Jimmy Buckets too, dude.
And his attitude. Like, I just love – he's so honest, so blunt. I appreciate that in person.
Just thrives in Miami, too.
Yeah. It's totally his lifestyle, totally his vibe. Yeah. No Celtics talk here. I'm not a huge fan of Celtics. I don't know. I like Jaylen Brown. I think Tatum's going to be good, but he irritates me. I think he has bad facial hair. Talking about we had facial hair talk earlier. I don't know why his beard is so outward. Like, the way... I don't like seeing beard frays. Like, if you have curly hair, like, it kind of grows in, it looks cool. But, like, when you're – he's just, like, got this straight – it's, like, straight out.
Yeah. I feel like the Celtics are going to be a kind of Oklahoma City Thunder story.
Mm.
Like, I see Jaylen Brown, like, going somewhere else and just doing really well and, like, taking over a team. Like, I see Jason Tatum, like, getting an MVP in, like, 5 years and – but, you know, playing on, like, a crappy team and getting an MVP, like – you know, and Kimba's already made a name for himself, but I see people like looking back and being like, how did this team not win a championship?
Yeah.
Like, because I just don't feel like, and then the Brad Stevens, the weird him coaching Gordon Hayward in college, and there's just weird chemistry issues. I thought Kimba replacing Kyrie would be able to fix some of that, but really it's just not. It's still, like, not working. And this is just the Heat's year. Like, who saw – nobody saw the Heat coming.
Nobody did. I liked them coming into the playoffs, but I still didn't think – I liked them as a final sleeper, but as a sleeper. I'm awake now, and I still can't believe it. It's – yeah. No, the Heat are really in a groove right now, and there's a lot of question marks for the Celtics. Like, there's a lot of, like, very goods, but I don't know if there's any greats yet where I'm like – Brad That's Stevens is very good. Kemba Walker is very good. I think Jason Tatum is clearly going to be great, but he's still very good. Jaylen Brown, very good. But none of these players are like, screw all y'all. I'm taking over. This is it. That conversation's kind of been happening with Tatum, and it kind of bugs me because, like, Durant, there's been a lot of, like, Durant comparisons, a lot of Kobe things, like, oh, man, could he be an MVP guy? But, like, those guys did it from day one. And even if they missed or they couldn't do it, like, there were years Durant didn't make the playoffs, there were years he lost in the playoffs and whatever, but it was clear that he was going to do it. And it doesn't feel as clear with Tatum. It feels like maybe that's the talent that surrounds him, but either way, that instinct doesn't feel there of, like, I'm going to kill everybody on this court and I'm going to score every point. And so,
dude, that's true. And I just kind of, like, played into it. Something that I totally just played into it, saying that he is a guy that could be like an MVP in 5 years. But that does honestly kind of bother me about Jason Tatum, that so much of the narrative is he will be great in the future. Like, there's just so much, like, hype around him.
Like, where is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even – and I want to clarify this for whatever, the future people who fact-check me. I still think he could be. And I don't think that you're unreasonable for saying that he could be like a MVP candidate. But I am sort of like – stuck in the he's just not in that all-timer obviously great stage, and he's kind of getting mentions like that. And I guess that Durant comparison is just the one that bugs me the most, because, like, I think Durant is, like, if everything goes well, like, he's like top 15 all time. That guy's ridiculous. Like, he's one of the best scorers we've ever had. And
I'm so excited for Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's gonna be wild. Oof.
With Nash.
I was really hoping that they were going to do that. They were going to do the whole, like, Durant and Kyrie come back for the playoffs, and they're just like, let's do it. That would have been so sick. But, cool. So, all right. We have one last segment. You've already had some hot takes coming into this. There were some mustache takes.
You've had some great.
There were
some
weird takes.
You've had
some
steamy takes,
I had
too.
Some steamy. I don't know if that's a win or a lose. Hit me. What's your hot take? How are you gonna change my day today?
So here's my hot take. This is a controversial opinion that won't get your podcast canceled.
I might have already done that with my Wonder Woman talk today, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's not true. You're not sexist.
Not yet. Wait, no, I didn't think you were gonna say sexist. I thought you said
not
you weren't gonna get canceled, and I was gonna say not yet, but not sexist.
This is falling apart for me.
Wait until 5 years of marriage, and we'll see who's.
No, all right, I'm
not
gonna
sexist.
Be sexist. Clarification: not going to be sexist. Not yet going to be sexist. I was saying not yet canceled. All right, Lucas, just take the floor.
Again, one quick second. When Grant and I had a talk show on Aggie Radio, do you ever remember the Blue Walk restaurant in the Hub?
No.
We roasted that so hard. It was a Chinese restaurant. And my favorite kind of food is Chinese, and I had that one time, and it was the worst. And we, like, I gave it 0 stars. Like, we did a segment where we did, like, reviews of on-campus restaurants.
Yeah.
And I hated on it so hard. And we had our friend come on, Tanner Anderson, and he talked about how how one time he had blue walk and he hated it so bad that he went on, I think it was Yelp or Google reviews, to give it a bad review, and there wasn't like it wasn't registered
it
on that site.
So he registered
it, and just to write a bad review of it.
You registered as a level of commitment.
Yeah, and then the advisor over Aggie Radio talked to us a little bit after and was like, "Hey, maybe don't be super negative about campus affiliated."
Look, we are honest about, dude. I think that place still exists, to be honest. So we're gonna plow through it.
But yeah. So keeping it real. My hot take and unpopular opinion is that I don't like pets, and like I don't want a pet.
Interesting. Okay, so when you say don't like, do you mean like you personally, or do you mean like society at large?
Me personally.
Okay, yeah, so you're not trying to ban pets. You just don't like pets.
No, I'm not.
I'm here to ban pets.
No, I don't like them. Oh, you're here to ban. Okay.
Okay. Honestly, all right, I've had a little love affair with dogs lately. Honestly, like it's come around. I used to be afraid of dogs. Fun fact. Anyway, all right, take me through it, though. Why do you not like pets?
No, I actually want to I want to hear your story.
Well, this is not that cool. But, all right, when I was like 7, man, this is going to sound so crazy. So I'm going to go summary. I was in Mexico. Uh-huh. Family reunion. Some dude walking his dog. Giant golden retriever. This golden retriever is like, yo, 7-year-old kid, like, let's play. I'm like, yo, you're my height. Like, maybe not. And it ran around and circled around me. I'm like, what are you doing? And it freaked me out. I was like crying, fell in the water. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Then I went and chased my brother. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is harassment. It could have been avoided. This dude, the guy who was walking a dog, could have just had a leash. But then, like, at some point, I realized, I'm like, oh, I could kill a dog. And then, like, it was, like, fear went away. Like, I don't know. Like, once you know, you're like, okay, like, yeah, just – not that I have or going to, man. This podcast is not going great for me. But like, I don't know. Like, that's
I could overcome a dog.
Fear went away. But why do you not – what do you have against pets?
Yeah, so I just really don't like the whole – so this is going to be dogs specifically. I really don't like it when you go into somebody's house for the first time and they have a dog and it's all over you, right? It's barking like crazy. And they're like, and I hate how people speak for their dog too. Oh, he'll get used to you. Like, oh, just give him time. And it's like, you don't know that. You don't know what your dog is thinking. And, you know, when people are like, oh, it's so happy to see me when I come home from work. Like, it just, it comes up and like, barks, it's always so excited. No, it's not excited to see you. It's excited to see anyone. It's just been sitting in an empty house for 8 hours. Your dog doesn't care about
frankly,
you.
Frankly, I might be hungry. I might just feel like that might be the only thing.
Your dog is just hungry. It doesn't care about you. It cares about its next meal. Is what
it doesn't care about you.
That's right. And I really don't like the mess that dogs make inside, and cats just indoor pets for that matter. I'm also allergic to cats, and like, and I think
this is a biological beef. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in houses.
You were born this way.
And start having conversations with people,
right?
And then just start crying mid conversation. And
oh, it's because of cats. It's not just because you're emotionally unstable.
Like, wait. Yeah. I'm very.
You need to clarify that.
Very emotionally unavailable. Exactly. So
I just walk into people's houses and start crying. And actually, that has nothing to do with the cats. That's just an aside.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, it's in my DNA to dislike some pets, I guess, from the allergies. But as well, just the. For me personally, right, I want to have kids. I want to have a big family, right? I think that's very important to me. I don't want something else.
My parents used to say, it would be like, they'd ask my parents, why didn't you get a pet? I'm the oldest of 4 boys. And like, we had 4 boys. It was enough. And we're like, shoot. It was like, wow, okay, all right. But like, honestly, some truth to that. Like, I don't know. Like, if you don't want to, like, 4 boys is a lot to handle, and 4 girls is a lot to handle too, so I don't know. 4 kids is just enough, you know what I mean? So I feel that. Pets. You're out on pets.
Yes, I'm out
so
on pets.
I just want to clarify, like, is this any and all? Like, if somebody has a fish, are you like, I don't vibe with that? Or like, where do you draw the line somewhere?
So yeah, I guess this is for me and my house. As for me and my house, I'm not into pets. Even fish, like I don't want something else. like I have to care about and I have to take care of, spend time and money on,
yeah.
especially something as unfulfilling as a fish, right? Like they're like we can go through the list, right? Like guinea pigs are weird. Who wants a this weird animal, right? Like snakes are so uninteresting and just snakes. Not interactive
snakes.
Really. Right, so we can go. We can go through. Each. I have gripes with most every kind of pet, especially indoor pets. But yeah, I guess I just personally don't vibe with pets.
Doesn't vibe with
very
pets.
On a personal, genetic, and emotional level. But to each his own. You know, other people can do their own thing.
I'm probably gonna have a dog at some point in my life. But I'm not mad at you. I just want you to know, like,
yeah.
I'm at peace.
We can still be friends.
We can disagree and still be friends. Have you seen that
meme? I just won't come over.
Is that picture that guy? Okay. Wow. You won't come over. You just going to flex that on me right now?
I'm just playing.
Wow.
I'm
All
just
right.
Playing.
Lucas Stevens. We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
Dude, thank you so much for having me on. This has been way fun, and you're dope. And best of luck with the rest of your podcast.
Dude, no problem. Feel free. We might have you on again. I don't know if we're still alive or not canceled.
If it's not canceled after.
Somebody tell Gal Gadot I'm a big fan. I don't have anything against her. All right. For Lucas Stevens, I'm Josh Davis. This has been the Turnaround J podcast, episode 1.